I used to think abortion should be legal. Stay tuned to find out why, and more importantly, why I changed my mind on Unapologetic. We're in a political season, and it's common to hear political candidates talking about their views on abortion and if they're pro-life or pro-choice. And you might think that settles the issue on a view, but sometimes someone will say, "I'm very pro-life, but I think abortion should be legal." And you know, it's interesting, as I've sat down and reflected on my life, I've come to realize that I held that belief at one point in time, and a particular conversation comes to mind. I remember vividly I was sitting at a friend's house, quite a few of us were around, and somehow the issue of abortion came up. And these friends of mine, they're conservative evangelical Christians, just like I was. However, I found myself that day with the liberal perspective. I was the one who said, "I think abortion is wrong. I think it's evil. But I don't think it's the government's place to say what people can do with their own bodies." Now, I wasn't making a women's rights argument. I was espousing more of a libertarian political view. I didn't want the government involved in very much. And if I'm honest with you, that's kind of still my political bent. But here's what's interesting. If you really pick apart what I was saying, which some of my friends tried to do at the time, I was really saying, I think abortion involves the killing of innocent children, and I think it should be legal. Anyone who says the same type of statement I said, where I think it's wrong, but the government shouldn't say, what they're really saying is, abortion kills children, and people should be allowed to do it. Now, people don't say those words, and so it can be helpful in conversation to present the issue more accurately. And so I'm going to kind of role play a conversation for you that's actually similar to one I had with my friends those many years ago. It goes something like this. Person one, perhaps myself, would say, "You know, I think abortion's wrong, but the government shouldn't be involved in saying if we should do it or not." Person two could say, "So you think abortion involves killing a child? Or a human being that's alive?" And person one would probably reply, I do. And person two could reply, "So you think it involves killing a child that's alive, but people should be allowed to do it. People should be allowed to murder. Is that your view?" It's going to be very hard for someone to actually say, "Yes, that's my view. People should be allowed to kill their children." Because that's really what abortion is, and that's really what we're talking about with this issue. And sometimes it's hard to determine what we're actually talking about because we hide behind euphemisms. We hide behind choice and rights and pro-life and all of this. And they obscure the reality of what we're talking about. We're talking about the murder of children in their very mother's womb. The place they should be the safest in America is now the place where they're in the most danger. And so we need to use questions to bring that fact to light, to actually put the light of day on the issue being talked about. And that sample conversation we just had is a good way to do it. Now, there are people who will say, "I think it should be legal. I understand that it takes the life of an unborn child. You know, that's my Christian conviction," we'll say. "As a Christian, I think that. But as an American citizen, I don't think the government should be involved in saying what people should do." Or maybe they would say something like, "I don't think the government should legislate morality." Well, that is a view that people do hold, but here's the issue with that view. It places what it means to be an American more important than what it means to be a Christian. It's putting my political ideology above my biblical theology. It's letting my preferences for how a government should work override what it means to be created in the very image of God. And we should never do that. That's what I was doing all those years ago, is I had an idea of how government should function, and that was my overriding principle and how it came to how I viewed political views or how I should vote. But first and foremost, as Christians, we need to realize that our citizenship is not of this world. We are part of God's kingdom. Kingdom is an interesting word. It's comprised of two separate words, king, we know what kings are, and doms, or domains. An area over which a king rules, really a people group. And as Christians, we are part of the kingdom of heaven. We are part of God's kingdom. We are a people he has called apart, he has separated, he has made his own. And so when we think about who defines reality and what's right and what's wrong and how we vote and how we weigh things, we should say, whose kingdom are we a part of? Are we a part of the kingdom of God? primarily, or are we a part of the kingdom of America? Now, most Christians are going to say, I'm a part of the kingdom of God. But here's my question. If that's the case, then does how I view politics align with that? Do I view politics as my savior? Or on the other hand, do I think how politically people act shouldn't align with my Christian convictions? Neither of these are appropriate. A correct view of the kingdom of God would say that my citizenship is primarily one of God's kingdom. Now, yes, I live on this earth, but I'm ultimately a citizen of another world, and so I should act like that. And in fact, how I'm viewed might actually look like someone who doesn't fit here. Very soon, as it already is in some pockets of the country, to say that you're pro-life and are against abortion at any stage of development is going to look weird. You will not fit and look like a citizen of this country. And that shouldn't surprise us because our citizenship is not of this world. And so there are so many areas in the Christian life where this following question has relevance. But the question is this: who is going to define how you see reality? Is it society? Is it culture? Is it your political view? Or is it God and Scripture? There are quite a few things that we don't know apart from Scripture telling us. But when our intuition and our observation contradicts what Scripture says, what are we going to go with? When Scripture says that everyone is created in the image of God, and as a result they're worthy of respect and they have dignity, is that going to inform how I view abortion? Or is my political ideology about the involvement of government? Now, some people will say when you start talking like this, well, you shouldn't legislate morality. Well, what else can you legislate? Because the fact of the matter is, the only thing that gets legislated is morality. But the main question is whose morality? And I have to say that God designed this world to work a certain way. He gave us his moral law in Scripture. And yes, understanding that and Old New Testament and how that works, that does require some application of our time and our mental faculties. But nonetheless, God has revealed how this world should work apart from the taint of sin. And so it shouldn't surprise us that the way God designed the world to work is the way it works best. And so when it comes to legislating morality and deciding whose morality, well, I'm going to choose God's. I'm going to choose to set things up and structure them the way God has said they should be because they'll be best. And you know, it's interesting. We see that it's actually best when we look at the example of a father and a mother and children. Now, you notice I just didn't use the term parents because there isn't really a role of parent. There are fathers and there are mothers. And this is how God has structured the world. And when we look at families or relationships where there are two father figures or two mother figures in a same-sex relationship, you know, those children actually don't do as well in school or with emotional health or when it comes to how sexually promiscuous they are. They don't do as well in those areas as children who are raised with both a father and a mother. And this is one of a vast array of examples of how structuring our morality and our society according to how God has designed the world to be and has said that it should work actually works best. And that shouldn't surprise us. So, some reflection points for today. What is going to define reality? Who is going to define and what source is going to inform us on how we vote and how we are politically? Is it going to be politics before God's heart for, let's say, the immigrant or the poor? Is it going to be God's heart for children? Or is it going to be the lusts and rights of adults when it comes to marriage? Is it going to be a women's right, I say that in quotes, or is it going to be the life of the child? And as always, in these types of conversations, use questions to bring to light exactly what we're talking about. And when it comes to abortion, we're not talking about rights, we're not talking about dignity, and we're not talking about inconveniences. What we're talking about is children and their murder. That's really what it is. Now, is there grace and forgiveness for that at the cross of Christ if people repent? There certainly is, and we must talk about that too. But we should be straight on what it means to repent and what God's love looks like and what the cross looks like. But we should also be very clear and transparent about what's actually happening. And when someone like I used to says statements like, well, I think abortion is wrong, but it should be legal. There's a contradiction here. This person has a worldview that's inconsistent, or at the very least, their worldview is not in line with what Scripture and the Bible says, because all throughout Scripture, we see God's heart for the disenfranchised, the vulnerable, the orphan, and the widow. And there is no person in America or in this world today more vulnerable and more in need of help than the unborn. Now, if you're in the Tallahassee area and you're hearing this podcast, we have a great event coming up through a women's pregnancy center. There is a Walk for Life happening, and it's a fundraiser to help them meet their operating budget for the year. This is an awesome organization that talks with women, that counsels them, that shares the gospel with them, that provides ultrasounds, that really helps them through what for some people is a very traumatic and difficult experience. And the goal is to help save the child and witness to the mother. And so how can you help? Well, you can donate. You can walk. You can raise awareness. You can go to lifeisprecious.net/walk. lifeisprecious.net/walk and get more information, or certainly donate. You know, you could look at how much it costs to get a Starbucks drink each day of the week and say, you know what, I'm going to fast from that and going to donate that $25 or $30 to an organization that works tirelessly day in and day out to save lives and share the gospel. So however you're able, I would encourage you, I implore you, donate to that organization. Now on that page, you'll see that you can choose different people to sponsor. I have some friends, Sherry Downey, Jason Pamblanco, Chrissy and Sarah. They would all appreciate your donation. But whoever you choose to donate to, just donate. Get involved. Volunteer. Or even in the small conversations, like that conversation I had many years ago, be prepared to contend for the life of the unborn. Because in my life, what changed my mind was a combination of friends who weren't having any of that that bad view I had. Scripture and a good Christian community, and probably the Holy Spirit working on my heart behind the scenes. And so don't forget, you could be one of those people who helps change the mind of someone on this very important issue. Well, until next week, I look forward to talking to you on